Okay. I'm a little nervous. It's okay, though. So I want to start off by giving a little snippet of what I said at Women's Brunch, because it kind of went into how I planned, or how God planned this. Okay. And so on Women's Brunch, we've been talking about Psalms 119 and been going through it 8 verses at a time, and it's been a very long time, but that's okay. We're diving deep. And so we were on 89 through 96, I think. And that is the Hebrew letter Lamed, or Lamad, or it's, you know, however you want to pronounce it. And so what it means to prod or goad or, you know, poke. Okay. So like a shepherd goads the sheep, you know, he puts them where they need to go. Okay. If they get off track, he goes and goads them and brings them back to the flock, to safety. And so I was reading some commentary on that eight scriptures. And she said something that kind of stuck with me. And she was like, you know, sometimes we get into the word and something like resonates with us, and we're like, oh, that's so awesome. And so then we go to the next thing, and we're like, oh, that's so good. And then we, like, keep on diving deep into those things when, you know, really we just need to be reading the scripture. So that's Psalm 119, 89 through 96 is kind of like a goad of, okay, come back to where we need to be right here, okay? This is all good. This is awesome. This is wonderful stuff. But you need to come back and you need to just dwell on this right here. And so when I was preparing for this, this is my favorite story. My absolute favorite story. The song, there's a song, you know, Alabaster Box. Oh, man, I can't even sing it. I want to sing it so bad I can't sing it because I can't get through it. I just fall out on the floor. And that's okay. But what happened was, is I got in here and I started reading and I started researching and I was going to this commentary and I was going to this, you know, the other books of the Bible, and I was reading back and forth and I was going, oh my gosh. And I was like, you know, going to this next thing and reading this commentary. And then I was getting frustrated because it was like, my mind was like, oh, it's just too much information. I don't know what I want to say. I don't know where to put it. And God was just like, stop. And so I was like, okay. And I read it again. And so let's go to John 12. So that's that goading, that's that prodding of Jesus, like, no. Let's just come back to the scripture, okay? It says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, because Judas really didn't care for the poor, because he was a thief and he was the money keeper and had the bag and bear what was put therein. But then Jesus said, let her alone. against the day of my burying hath she kept this. She saved this for this time. Maybe she really didn't know what she was saving it for, but she was saving it for a special time. For the poor always ye have with you. There will always be poor. But me ye have not always. He wasn't always going to be there in the flesh. So this part right here was a significant act of honor and worship. Her coming, sitting at his feet, was honoring him as her Savior and worshiping him. Recognizing Jesus for who he is, our Savior. She was sitting at his feet. She just wanted to be there. Honoring him, worshiping him for who he is. That's what we need to be doing. He wants us to come and sit. That's what he wants. He wants you to come and sit at his feet. The more I seek you, the more I find you. Come and sit at his feet. It doesn't matter. She was worshiping him, and in this, it was preparing him for what he was about to do. In this worship and honoring him that was happening, there was a beautiful exchange that happens in that moment. A beautiful exchange between Mary and Jesus. And it was significant. And it was making a point to everybody in that room. And he says, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this, for the poor you always have. There will always be the poor. But you're not always going to have me here in the flesh. We're not always, there's going to be moments where we're busy, we're doing things. But it's taking that time to stop and sit at his feet. Stop worrying. Stop being busy. Stop worrying about the cost. Well, if I sit here too long, this isn't going to get done. Or this is, you know, it doesn't matter. It's always going to be there. You're always going to have to clean. You're always going to have to do laundry. There's always work. But those moments with Jesus are not all the time. They should be all the time. So she does not care who was in the room. She could care less who was there. She could care less what was going on in that moment. She didn't care. She had been saving that oil for this moment. And she sat at his feet. And now this is the one thing, it's kind of different, but God laid a song on my heart. And I want to sing it right now. Because I feel like in this moment, this exchange that happened is exactly what is said in this song. A moment between Jesus and Mary. And it was said without any words. So you can close your eyes or whatever you want to do, you know, but I'm gonna sing this for you, okay? You're my beloved, you're my bride. To sing over you is my delight. Come away with me, my love. we are standing face to face. I see no stain on you, my child. You're beautiful to me. So beautiful to me. I sing over you my song of peace. Cast all your cares down at my feet. Come and find your rest in me.
No. Y'all don't want me singing. That was powerful. There's definitely in those first verses, and I even want to talk about a preparation. And I want to read just the next few verses, and we're not going to get through the whole chapter tonight. We're going to get through just the next few verses because I really want to expand and build on what Amber spoke on here already. There is definitely a beautiful presence of the Lord in this place tonight. I want to just pick up. I'm going to read straight through from 9 to 19, and then I want to pick out two points that are talked about, and I kind of want to just expand on and unpack tonight. So let's just read this. I need to go through. There we go. Chapter 12, verse 9. Now a great many of Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. Come on, can somebody say amen? The next day, a great multitude had come to the feast. When they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, verse 13, took branches of palm trees. Come on, they were preparing the way. Come on. And went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, and as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things in him to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. Verse 18. For this reason, the people also met him because they heard that he had done this sign. Verse 19. The Pharisees, therefore, is probably one of my favorites. Therefore, the Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." I love that. I want to just land on just that preparation as he entered into Jerusalem, how they were prepping the way. And it was just like Mary was prepping the way. I've wanted to do a full message on just that right there, preparing the way for God to move in our lives. And I think about that. And my question that I kind of present to you guys is, and this is, I'm asking for your kind of come back at me and feedback on this and your comments back on this. Because we're all different. We do things a little differently. In your life, in your day-to-day actions, in your routines, what are things that you do to prepare the way for God to move in your life? What is it? What's something that you guys do in your day-to-day walk? What do you guys do? That's the question I'm asking you. What do you think? I love it. That's a good preparation. What's another one? I love it. What else? Good. Just talking to him. Come on. Amen. I love it. What else? Yeah. Don't care. They know what you're doing. People know what you're doing. You're like, okay, she's preparing the way. I got it. She's getting some Jesus in her. That's a good thing, especially driving in traffic on the way to work. That's the best time to get some Jesus in you. What else? Yeah. Amen. Amen. It is absolutely vital, necessary. It's crucial that we have that mindset of preparing the way for the Lord. And it does need to cost us. It does. Fasting, putting down the social media, putting down the extra sodas, putting down those things. It needs to cost us. Mary poured out that oil. We see in the Word of God over and over again from cover to cover about men and women costing, pouring out, and preparing the way for the Lord. Over and over and over again, we see Daniel costing everything. It could have cost him his life. He sacrificed it. I don't care. I'm not going to stop worshiping my God. I'm going to continue to prepare the way. Elijah, we see it over and over and over again, going before the Lord. We see God, Jesus going away over and over and over again to get with Jesus or get with the Lord, getting with his Father. He was preparing the way for what's to come. I'm telling you, it is absolutely a vital necessity in this day that we are living in to prepare the way for God to move in our lives every day. Because the enemy, I am telling you, he is knocking at every one of our doors every day, every night. And the more we prepare the way for God to move, the more we allow him to move. If we're not taking that time and giving that sacrifice like Mary did at his feet, come on. We're letting the enemy, we're giving them space. Bible tells us renewing our mind daily. That's us preparing the way for God to move in our minds. I'm telling you, we can live. We get so crazy carried away. The craziness and the hecticness of the day.
It is so important that we are putting on the worship music. We're tuning out this world. Look, don't throw anything at me if you're a little religious. I listen to some country music sometimes, okay? But I tell you what, 99% of the time, I am all about worship because worship, come on, gets me where I need to be mentally. Yes, ma'am. Go for it.
But when we do prepare the way, the three Hebrew boys, my God can deliver me, but if he doesn't, I still will not bow.
I'm still going to worship.
Right.
It don't matter. I'm still going to go after him. Still going to chase him. Still going to chase him. Hallelujah. What I want to share now is I want to finish the second point of this. It is imperative that we are preparing the way. And you know what another area is in our lives, and I want to share this. I have this in my notes. Is I'm going to touch on it for a second, then I'm going to go on to the next thing. I feel like I'm not supposed to dive into this too much. But with our giving, you know, when we give in our finances, we're preparing the way for God to move in a big-time way. I've got some more to expound on that, but I don't think I'm supposed to right now. But I'm telling you, when it comes to our finances, just like the lady, well, just like Mary, that she didn't give out of. She gave something that seriously cost. She said, I give you this. And it doesn't necessarily, when I talk about giving financially, I need you to hear me, okay? This isn't just talking about giving into the church. This is giving, period. Giving to people, loving on people, blessing people, amen? The church is going to be fine, okay? But you give. You talk about preparing the way for God to move in your life. We've got to learn to be givers. Givers of our time. Givers of our finances. This opens up this next one is givers of our testimony. I want to read this. Verse 9 and then 18 and 19 real quick again. Verse 9 says, now a great many of Jews knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. What a testimony. They were going to hear what Jesus did. And this is verse 18. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard what he had done, that he had done this sign. And the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, it's my favorite, you see, that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. I think about that, and I think about how incredibly powerful your testimony is. I need you to hear me tonight. Your testimony is absolutely crucial for you to be sharing out there into this world. If you don't have your testimony of what God has done for you and did for you, you need to write it down. When we went to Peru, when I started getting all our teams together, and one of the first things I said, I need you to get your testimony together. And I tell you, most of them didn't really have, they knew sort of, but they didn't have it written out. They didn't have it really clarified where it was really clear and precise. And when I got to sit down and they had written out their testimonies, I about bawled every single time, because the powerful testimonies of each one of what God did in each and every one of those lives, mind-blowing. Write your testimony down. If you haven't shared your testimony in a while, maybe it's about time you do it. Let somebody hear what God's done for you. Maybe we just need to have a one Wednesday night where it's just all about you sharing what God's done for you. I'm all about what God's done for me. I know what he's done for me. I will share it and I'll scream it from the rooftops. I'll get carried away about it because I know what God's done for me. But that is what is drawing. That is what draws people. I love to share it when I'm praying for somebody. I love to tell them, God healed my knee. The doctor said one thing, but I know what my God said about me. I'm healed and whole in Jesus' name. So when my doctor said I'm going to have knee replacement in my 20s, I said, no. I know a bigger God than anything that you could tell me. And guess what? I don't have the knee problems. I don't have that problem. Come on, amen. God took care of that. I know what God's done for me in my body. He's healed me. He's touched me. And I know he can do it for others. I know how he turned my life around when I wanted to end it all. How he got a hold of me. Those testimonies of what God's done for you, you need to be sharing it. You need to be telling folks because that's what draws people to Christ. When they hear what God did and how he could do it for them. How he wants to do it for them. How God died for all of us, or Jesus died for all of us. Sharing those testimonies. This is my desire. This is my desire. And I love just a couple of other verses real quick. John 9:25, the blind man, what did he say? I don't know about this thing sinners you're talking about, but I know I was blind and now I see. Over and over, I'm not sure, but I know I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was once completely cast and ready to go to hell, but God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for me. I didn't deserve it. He did it because of grace, because he loved me. Powerful. I don't know, and I'm not fully understanding. I don't grasp it, but I do know I was blind, but now I see. What a powerful testimony. Lazarus, I bet you he was saying this. I don't get it. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I don't understand it quite totally. It don't really fit between my ears because it's called a miracle. Come on, amen. But I know I was dead and now I'm alive. Hallelujah. Now let me wrap this thing up. The last verse in this 19. Actually, I want to go to Acts 4:20. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, I can't help but share what God has done, what I've seen and what I've heard. I can't help but share it. If you don't have your testimony together, you need to get it together. Write it down, because I promise you, there's going to be moments that you're going to run into somebody, Miss Margaret. You're going to run into somebody, Miss Wallace, that you're going to hear them going through the same situation. Oh, let me tell you about my testimony. Let me tell you what God did for me. Wow. If you don't have your testimony, yes, ma'am. Come on. Jesus, come on. Come on. Amen. That's it. Jesus made me walk. I didn't deserve it. He just did it. Last verse again. Verse 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. I want the enemy to say that about me. Well, We haven't accomplished anything because the world is still chasing after God because of what Brandon is doing. Because he keeps on sharing his testimony. Well, everything we're doing isn't working. People are still hearing the gospel. That's what I want to reflect in my life. So guess what? I'm going to continue preparing the way for God to move. I'm going to continue to give, and not just a little. I'm going to give as much as I possibly can. I want to give until it hurts, until it really is a sacrifice of praise. Time, sacrificing time and giving it to the Lord. Time, our bodies, fasting, not just on from our phones, but truly fasting with food, letting this body hurt and really cry out to God. Really feel the need for the Lord to really come in. That's what fasting does, man. It causes this body to really get in line and desire God more. We're preparing the way, just like Mary did, man. She poured out that oil on Jesus' feet. Man, I want the enemy to do that. I want the enemy to say that about me. That, man, we've tried everything, but he's still being effective for the kingdom of God. He's still pouring out. He's still giving. He's still doing. He's still running the race. Miss Margaret, I don't know, that is exactly your prayer. Oh, the enemy tries all kinds of stuff. But you're going to keep on running, and you're going to keep on trucking. This is why we go, Miss North. It's why we go. It's why we do what we're doing. It's why we run the race. Man, because I want to share what God's done. I want to prepare the way so I can be more effective for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Powerful. Amber, wow. Just open that up. That was powerful. Thank you, Amber, for being obedient with that and singing. That was beautiful. That was my woman right there, y'all. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Yes, we all are. Amen.